Hi, Stefan.
Hi.
Thank you very much for sitting down with us. You are a doctor, correct?
I'm a doctor, yes. I'm an orthopedic surgeon and trauma surgeon, chiropractor as well. I'm an associate professor at the University of Sherbrooke in Canada and a guest professor at the Temple University in Philadelphia.
Okay, and what brought you here to this conference, Better Way?
Oh, this conference is very easy because I live here and I had Maria organizing it.
Okay.
So this is very easy.
It's very easy for you, yeah. So the vaccines, we have heard a lot of lectures throughout these couple of days about how the vaccine attacks the body, the system of the body, and there's damage made to the body. Is there anything you can do to reverse that damage from your system?
Can I talk a little bit longer? Why would I be credentialed? Why would I be? Would everybody listen to me? I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I'm a trauma surgeon. I have no clue about vaccine in general, right?
Yeah.
We surgeons, we have sort of saying things we can't cut, we don't believe in. Right? So, what should I, so about my background, for 10 years I worked in the Institute of Oncologic Virus Research in Germany as a surgeon, where we actually took out tissues, infected them with virus in order to develop a cancer vaccine.
Right.
All right, and my peers have worked with mRNA vaccines over 20 years and they have close collaboration with Wuhan and the other labs. So that's why I know a little bit about it, and I know how the virus was developed, I know about the gain of function and all of that. And very early on, we developed a treatment system in February, March 2020, based on research from the Chinese and just based on our own knowledge of stimulating immunology, because since 1995, we have several cancer vaccines in Germany and in Europe, where actually the body is rejecting the cancer by stimulating the immune system.
Oh.
All right,
yes.
So
immune therapy.
Immune therapy,
yes.
One-on-one. It only works for your body, it's individual.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, of course. And when they come out with a vaccine shot, which is mRNA based, which the co-workers, like the clever workers, not me the surgeon, but the clever immunologists, never were able to put it into a clinical setting where it killed all the animals in the lab setting. We thought, of course, I heard from my peers, please be very careful with that. It's still not approved. And even it's emergency proven is not something I would use on my patient. If I have emergency proven for a drug or for an implant, I say, hey, it's never been used. Is there a real emergency? All right, if as a trauma surgeon have a life-threatening disease, I have to take whatever I get.
Yeah.
All right, if it's emergency approved, even if it's not approved, if I save life, fine. But the first thing was COVID, a life-threatening disease. We know it wasn't, and so on and so on, right? So then it was very early to develop with the World Council of Health the next step, implementing those non-invasive therapies based on stimulating the immune system to get rid of the COVID.
Yes.
Not the vaccine first, but COVID.
Yeah.
Right? And we know that 95% of the COVID deaths had a low vitamin D level. So this was very first, right? And high dose vitamin C and so on, right? Then we built with the World Council of Health this treatment alternative now, like Darren says, native treatment, easy, cheap, everybody can do it. You don't even need to go to the pharmacy, you get it from a regular truck stop. Okay, then the vaccines came on the market and we know that they really decreased the immunology. It
yes.
just crashed your immune system. Mm-hmm. The more you get the vaccines, the more deficit you have. But we have the armamentarium in order to rebuild it. Mm-hmm. Until it's completely destroyed, then it's hard. But after first, second, third shot, it's okay. The fourth shot, they have a problem. I admit. So, and we put this on the website. The website is World Council for Health Spike Protein Detox. It's a long website, but if you scroll down at the end, you see the top 10 winners. we agreed on a large international panel. These are the top 10 winners, which everybody can use. The micrograms are there, the milligrams are there, and you just follow this recipe, and easy to get from drugstores and without a prescription most of the time. And if you follow this without any side effects, because it has been used since years now, and the knowledge from high dose vitamin C is used since 1968, for example, right? Safe, effective nutraceuticals, and they work really good in order to restore your immunology system. Now we have still a problem of getting rid of the original cause, which is the production of spike protein.
Exactly.
And now the recent studies show you will never stop this production.
Really?
Every 2 or 3 months there's a flare up. I see this in my patients.
So you will keep producing spike protein
every two
in the
or three
body.
Months they come back and I see symptoms like flare up. It's very easy when you have a patient with a paresthesia, with a Guillain-Barré or so, which gets better with this detox, and after 2 or 3 months it gets worse again.
Oh.
It was already better and nothing changed and it gets worse. So there is indication that every 2 or 3 months there's a flare up. We also use in our clinics quantum medical approaches where I can actually see the flare up in quantum assessment.
Okay.
Right? Because we see electromagnetic and quantum physical, quantum medical changes, which we pick up, and then I do prophylactic treatment with quantum medicine. Like prophylactic stimulation of the immune system before the patient gets symptoms.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, this is it. And the problem with medicine, since I'm now 32 years in the business, the problem with medicine, we become much too reactive, right? We react, we have a disease, we treat it, right?
Yes.
So, but when we have really special scans where we see the disease early on, right, then you can treat it. It's same with lab tests. We know the lymphocytes are really going down. So if I have a patient with normal lymphocytes, after 2 weeks, they're decreasing. I start early treatment of building them, of building the immune system, even if the patient doesn't have any problems. So like that, we preempt any disease before the patient is sick.
Yeah.
Because if they go sick, they might go to a regular hospital who doesn't know anything about detox, anything about prevention, who is not treating COVID and vaccine side effects with the data from the World Council for Health. And then the treatment is prolonged, they even do it the wrong way, and then of course it becomes more and more difficult to treat the patients.
Mm. Yeah. So you have several clinics, correct?
Yes.
You have six, seven
we have
clinic?
Several. We work with several clinics as collaborator, and I run my own clinics, which were 7 clinics in 6 countries. Some of them we collaborate, but we have our treatment and our centers there, and it's we soon have some maybe another 8 country coming up. I just heard it today.
But do you think that regular hospitals will start to implement this kind of treatment in the future for patients with spike protein? Because when you produce spike protein, it can still enter into your organs, right? So
yeah,
you will be
course.
At risk all the time to have
of
it
course.
In your heart and your brain, which cannot be repaired.
And that's what the pathologist shows us. Even after 12, 15, 18 months, you still see the spike protein somewhere, right? Which that's just not normal. Normally, the vaccination doesn't have, and it produces the one-time shot, produces the immune reaction, the antibodies, they stay 1, 2, 5, 10 years, whatever. We know this from tetanus, we know this from hepatitis B and so on, right? But now we still see this spike proteins in the lymph nodes, in the organs, and they're just not removed, right? And now these flare-ups could be an indication, and hopefully I'm wrong, that there is regular production, because it might have changed the genome, and then if the genome is changed, you always produce this. You know, there's discussion going on about it, we will know, but now from all around what we discuss with the World Council, all around the world, we see these flare-ups, which we can't in the end say where they come from, but it is quite a good hint and a good indication to just restart the prophylactic treatment. Mm. Right? And like Dr. Corey and others, they said we probably never can't stop this treatment ever. Like quercetin and so on, or ivermectin and all these things, ever. Those who have been vaccinated, we don't know, but they are now going giving this for 18 months now without break. Your question is right, whether the hospitals will do it. The problem is in some drugs like ivermectin is prohibited in a lot of countries, not a lot, but some countries around the world.
Yes.
So those of us hospital can't use it even if they want to. And then of course the rest is just easy vitamins, easy nutraceuticals. And I don't know any hospital who's prescribing nutraceuticals to the patients. Nobody. They don't use high-dose vitamin C. It's there since 1968, yes. They don't use vitamin D injections and so on, right? So there is hope, but the hope is minimal, I think. That's why with the World Council of Health and our holistic clinic group, we try to just build our own centers around the world, where the patient can get these treatments if the hospitals don't give it. Because I know my peers in the hospital, this is under restriction. I worked in so many hospitals around the world. It is quite limited. And if it's not approved with the tons of studies, then you won't be able to give it, right?
Exactly.
But vitamins, zinc, quercetin, as I said, vitamin B, C, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and so on, right? These are approved drugs besides hydroxychloroquine that has a bit of side effects regarding cardiac toxicity. The rest is safe, yes, to a different level. We know medicine, the dosage is the toxicity. You can kill yourself with vitamin C, you kill yourself with zinc, and you can kill yourself with eating too much meat and drinking too much alcohol, right? It's always the dosage. But if you do it at a dosage, which you find on the World Council for Health website, then you are safe.
Okay.
This is what a lot of countries use now.
So how did you get involved with the World Council for Health? Because it's a large organization, you are many doctors, and from my understanding, the World Health Organization has not been good during this. They have not been doing what's in the health of the interest in the health of the public. So World Council for Health has really been created out of this lack from the World Health Organization, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And how did you get involved in this?
I get involved because I work in these integrated holistic centers, so we have good connections to integrated GPs, and here in Austria, Maria Hubmer-Mock, she was very early involved, and via a very good friend of mine who is just living next year, knows her very well, you get like involved because we needed at the time more doctors who work internationally, like me, international professorships to recruit and to make it on a broader basis, to offer it internationally in a lot of countries simultaneously. And so it was from a local organization created by Tess Laurie, then it really spread, and we are just now 1 year old, and you see how many people have joined, how many organizations, how many journalists, how many groups have joined within a year, and this is tremendous. And without any external support, without any investor or so, this is just, we all do this out of our heart and out of our joy and energy to help patients to create a better world, because it couldn't have stayed like that.
No.
Right? Medicine is not just deteriorating for 2 years, it's deteriorating for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Corruption is increasing, pharmaceutical impact is maximally increasing, and so on and so on. In the 90s, as a doctor, I could choose my treatment. Now, it's regulations, right? So it's either my admin tells me I can't use this, it's too expensive, it doesn't fill my bed, the patients are going home too early, it's outpatient, so on. This is the whole hospital system has created as a money machine, which is mainly only run by private companies, and the hospitals are used as private companies to make money. It's good as a private company, you have to make money, but as a big hospital, right, where they cut down on nurses, cut down on doctors, use cheap implants, you can't have, we doctors are more and more frustrated because you can't actually choose the best of your patient for the patient. And then they say, oh, it becomes too expensive. But if we create it into proactive, if you go into early prevention, vitamin D costs nothing, right? Mm. It's cheap. And you can prevent cancer with it, you can prevent most of the diseases we know since several months now. Vitamin D is a hormone. We have receptors all over the body. You can actually have, it has an impact on the whole health. Why otherwise would nature create receptors in every organ just for this little vitamin? No, it's a hormone, it regulates so much. And again, As I said, 95% of the COVID deaths had low vitamin D. Then we know now that we can prevent death with vitamin D.
Yeah.
Right? And especially important for your countries.
Well, yeah, we are asked to take vitamin D during winter times because of all the darkness that we endure during winter.
See, yeah, that's wrong. The levels said in the levels published in EMA in the European Union, 400, 600 units 2-3 years ago is way too low. And you got to take it also in the summertime. Right here in Vienna, there are studies, we have to be naked outside every day without sun lotion in the summer in order to produce just the minimum sustaining amount of vitamin D. Yeah. So down in Cairo also, it's about 15 to 20 minutes, there are charts, how long you have to be completely naked without sun lotion outside. So in your countries would be an hour. I mean, now in the summer, in the sun, in the wind, you probably get sicker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a lot of...
Kjære seer, hvis alle 5000 seerne som ser på vipser 10 kroner, sikrer dere DokTV-budsjettet i en halv måned. Om alle 5000 seerne vipser 20 kroner, sikrer dere DokTV i en måned. Så lenge vi jobber sammen og alle bidrar, om så bare litt, så kommer vi en lang vei. Det hviler på oss, altså på deg og meg, å sørge for at sannheten kommer fram. Og at Document bevarer sin rolle som det medier egentlig skal være, en vaktbikkje. Uten dere så klarer ikke vi det. Og uten oss så sitter dere igjen med medier som løper myndighetenes ærend. Vips til 638941. 638941, fordi ditt bidrag gjør en enorm forskjell.
I mean, we have a lot of sun during summer, but throughout the night, but that's it, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And it's not during the night. So in the morning, in the afternoon, you don't produce vitamin D. You have only 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
Where the rays of the sun, they are just have the impact to do something. So if you go morning or even light, if you at night, it doesn't help. So it has to be for you probably, I don't know the data in your country, probably 1 hour at 12 o'clock in the sunshine, naked, sitting in front of your royal court. Well, that would make a picture.
That would make
that
a
would
picture.
That would hit the media. So it's not possible.
No. But okay. So you treated patients, you're a part of a World Council for Health. There's many doctors that had joined in. Like you said, there's more research coming out about COVID-19, the vaccine and how it's impacted the body, but it hasn't been easy for a lot of people because there has been a lot of criticism for being a conspiracy theorist and I don't know, like all these shameful things that people have been called for standing up against what the World Health Organization has been doing. How have you had a lot of criticism directed towards you and how have you handled that?
Yeah, I was lucky because I wasn't employed. So I was the head, or I worked in my own private clinic group, and I was the head of several private clinics practices, mm-hmm. and I have several registrations in several European and non-European countries as a doctor. So this was, for me, it's rather easy, because, and we are outside the system, we're only private.
Yeah.
Okay, but all those who were employed by the hospital all were into the insurances and had a really hard time. We only get the odd remark on our website or so, what we do and so on, but mostly none of us were prosecuted so far. But also we were not the first who were outspoken. I was not the first going down the street and saying, this is all wrong. First of all, nobody would believe me. I'm a surgeon, I'm not immunologist, like Gerd von der Bosch. I'm not a vaccinologist, I'm not so-and-so, mm-hmm. right? Or a pathologist, right? And on the other hand, we had a very early solution. So we just needed to maintain our offices, our practices, our clinics, all that, to offer this solution to our patients. So if we go to be too outspoken, they might take away our practice, close yeah. it, and then there was no solution for the patient, because at the beginning there was none
yeah.
at all. So we were a bit careful in telling. We were as doing our job as doctors, not become politicians, not becoming advocates, lawyers, mm-hmm. but concentrating on the
medicine,
on the treatment. See, that's mm-hmm. why we didn't have any big problems there. Of course, you have problems with drugs who are restricted, you can't use them. Funny, I can't use it in one country, in the other country we have an office where I can use it, but yeah. not in this country. I have to say, ooh, it's toxic and so on. And the other one said, no, it's good. So this was a little bit a mental problem there and a little bit ambivalent mm-hmm. Situation, but in the end, we were quite lucky, not as lucky as others who were employed, like Maria yeah. Hubner-Mock, and others all were insurance-dependent doctors. Mm. Because the good thing about if you're private and you heal a patient, the public system is not paying for it.
No.
Any prevention we do, any operation we avoid, any nutraceutical the patient is buying over the counter, which is cheaper than the drug, is reducing the cost for the community.
Yes.
Right? So they're better not going after the private doctors and the private system where patients have to pay to get something mm-hmm. because the public system is already overloaded, is already collapsing with it's a virus. Come on, I can tell a story if you allow.
Yes, please.
In 1991, we had a severe flu crisis, influenza crisis in Britain. At the time, I was a junior house officer in Dudley Road Hospital, the University Hospital of Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And I remember that half of the hospital did close at the time because the staff was sick, the doctors were sick, and we had a lot of patients lying on in the corridors, on beds, and the military bringing beds in and so on, and we treated them. We were completely overloaded because half of the doctors were sick, half the nurses, half of the hospitals were closed.
Yeah.
So any reaction from the WHO, any mandates of vaccination, so nothing.
No.
It was just, it went over hard 3 months, was hard time. And if you look it up on the internet, probably you find those documents. Yes. Mm-hmm. We doctors there, we were young and we worked, and the nurses worked overtime without getting more money, and the patients didn't complain. At least they got treated. So, and we cured them. We did our best, because we were not influenced by politics, by governments, right?
Yeah.
And like every flu epidemic or endemic, it just passed away. And it was just in the end, a funny experience, because we were a really good group, really good friends, and we worked the whole time, a really good community, and we were not separated by vaxxers, non-vaxxers, by pro, contra, right, left wingers, or so. We were just humans. We were friends and sisters and brothers and doing the best we could.
To save lives.
Right? Yeah, and to save lives, and family were bringing food to us in the hospital and to the people there, and they bring drinks, and because we were constantly there.
Yeah.
So this was what humanity is. And this is what we now reenact again in the World Council for Health. You've been here. This is the second time we do this. It becomes better and better every time. And we are closer and closer as a community. And we just live our lives. We fulfill our dreams. And we, in the end, can fall asleep happily. Exhausted, but happily in the end, because we know
with a good conscience.
We did the right thing.
Exactly. Thank you so much for sitting down with us. I really appreciate it. And it's been a great event.
Yeah, it was a great event. And you do a great job. And I wish all the best to your viewers in Scandinavia and keep on the good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.